Mother Earth says, now take good care of me. Please do not hurt me. Hey, hey, yo. Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo. And Father Sky says, now take good care of me. Please do not hurt me. Hey, hey, yo. Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo. Living creatures say, take good care of us. Please do not hurt us. Hey, hey, yo. Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo. And we are here to be ourselves, to be with one another, to be with our surroundings, to be. And we are here to take care of ourselves, to take care of one another, to take care of our surroundings, take care, to care. Nahastan anila nijone go shabotya, nijone go shabotya. Hey, hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo. Hey, hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo.
Akwe, greetings. You are listening to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices, a production of the Yat-Kitishi Native American Center. We are broadcasting on RFPI, Radio for Peace International, Global Community Radio. Akwe, welcome. This is your host, Ones Pritzker. Wolf Mountain Radio focuses on protecting Mother Earth, defending Native lands and Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices presents the situations facing Native peoples throughout the world with Native news, interviews, music, commentaries, and investigative reports. This program serves to protect sacred Mother Earth and the traditional cultural lifeways of Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Please listen now to Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. Ho, Kanawantakwasin, to all of our relations.
Ha ha ha!
traditional men's grass dance song from the drum, Seven Star, off Sound of America record CD, Gathering of Nations Powwow, 1994. Ashkwe, greetings and hello everyone. Welcome to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. In today's program, we share a conversation with anti-globalization environmental activist Mr. Logan Madsen. Logan and I met at the 2006 National Youth Activist Conference entitled ENCORE, which stands for National Conference on Organized Resistance. ENCORE is an annual event that brings together activists from a variety of issues, struggles, ideologies, and backgrounds for a weekend of learning and reflecting on the state of progressive movements occurring locally, nationally, and worldwide. Through diverse workshops, panel discussions, skill shares, tabling, and the creation of an open space, ENCORE seeks to promote organized action amongst participants against injustices and inequalities that we confront in our daily lives and in the world. ENCORE is held on the main campus of American University in Washington, D.C. Yad Kiddushi Native Center was honored to be a part of ENCORE 2006, networking with many fine groups and individuals committed to working for a better world. ENCORE, folks, shares Yad Kiddushi Native Center's concern for the protection of Mother Earth and the well-being of all life. Meeting other serious peace, social, economic, and environmental justice activists from across the country is very empowering. What I especially appreciate is the fact that the majority of ENCORE participants are youth activists. It gives me great comfort to see the dedication of many young people who fight globalization and carry on the struggles against many injustices in the world. Logan Madsen is a graduate student at American University. His master's degree program is in global environmental studies with a major focus on economics and trade is a very important subject, which I too am very concerned about. In my travels throughout the world, visiting various indigenous communities while working in environmental justice, I have seen many cultural, social, economic, and ecological impacts from international trade and so-called development in the Third World. Listeners to Wolf Mountain Radio have heard many of my investigative reports on these serious issues, such as the case of my 3-year fight in the Philippines against the Chico River Dam Project that threatened the Kalinga and Apayao indigenous mountain people I live with as a Peace Corps forest conservation volunteer in the 1970s. Institutions such as the World Bank and International Monetary Fund, regional development banks, the UN Conference on Trade and Development, and the World Trade Organization are powerful players in the theater of global economics. Trade agreements such as GATT, NAFTA, CAFTA, or ASEAN's finance ministers' declarations exemplify how international trade policy is orchestrated, often hurting the poor. International agencies such as the UN Development Program, European Union, or national government development departments such as the United States Agency of International Development often fund what they term community and economic development. In many cases, the real beneficiaries of aid money are the government and business elites of recipient countries. I've seen aid funds supposed to be used for social poverty programs. Instead, finance infrastructure, such as roads built to benefit private corporations, such as logging, mining, and agribusiness. In some cases, aid money earmarked for community development gets diverted to the military, which at times has ended up oppressing the people of funds we're supposed to help in the first place. The poor, who desperately need assistance for basic survival, such as for village agriculture, soil, forest, and water conservation, health care, and education, often end up receiving very, very little of the aid money. Even those projects funded on a minimum budget that do finally reach the people are often poorly designed and often are not even implemented for a sufficient period of time. In a number of cases, economic policies and development projects force entire communities off their homelands. When countries, often in partnership, with multinational corporations want to exploit an area for agriculture, energy, natural resources, or an industrial free trade zone. This is a major impact of corporate globalization. The end result is deeper and expanding poverty and suffering of millions of people in the third world, not to mention the ecological disasters as a consequence of so-called development or trade. These important topics are aspects of global environmental issues that my guest today in Wolf Mountain Radio, Logan Mattson, is here with me at NCOR to discuss. Logan is also very concerned about environmental social justice here in what's now called North America, as we of Yad Kedishi Native Center are. He supports Native rights of sovereignty and self-determination. Earlier, he told me of his time in Nui Sogabia, the homeland of the Nui or Western Shoshone Tribal Nation. Logan, like us here at Yad Kedishi Native Center, have participated in the Shanghai Network campaigns against further desecration of Western Shoshone territory from the U.S. Departments of Defense and Energy. One of our Wolf Mountain radio programs entitled Defending Nui Sogabia Territory is available to hear anytime on www.radioforall.net archives of our Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices. Logan Mattson is a fine example of up-and-coming youth activists. Meeting him and others like him who care for Mother Earth, who care for the well-being of all life, gives me hope for the future. It also gives me encouragement to continue my activism and hopefully be a mentor to his generation. I now welcome Mr. Logan Mattson to Wolf Mountain Radio.
Hello, my name is Logan from Las Vegas, Nevada. At least for the last 18 years, I've lived in the Mojave Desert bioregion. That is northeast of Los Angeles, about 3 hours, kind of southwest Utah, northwest Arizona, northeast, kind of southern California, that whole southwest region I have an identity towards.
Tell me, sir, what was it, the reason why you decided to come to here, Washington, D.C., to this gathering?
Well, I'm actually already here in Washington, D.C. I go to graduate school here at American University. Having been on the West Coast for the past 18 years, I'd never had a chance to come to the NCOR. Having heard of it, I was really excited going to school here that this would be my first time attending it.
Thank you. One of the major concerns of Wolf Mountain Native Radio and Yad Kedishi Native Center, the host and producer of this program, is really the work of the World Bank, International Monetary Fund, and I guess what you call corporate globalization, area of concern of world trade and finance, and how, from my vantage point, multinational corporations and nation states are really raping sacred Mother Earth and really ruining the lives of millions or even billions of peoples. And I know you have been active in anti-globalization work. In 2003, I was able to be part of a historic march here and did a number of radio interviews. So I would be very appreciative to hear about your anti-globalization work and, of course, the recent 2005 action.
Well, my anti-globalization work dates back to my undergraduate studies in Las Vegas. Actually, worked under a professor that was an expert in Mexico. And so in 2001, I went to Cancun, Mexico September, I went to the World Trade Organization ministerial meetings to attend the NGO counter conventions and to organize with my comrades in solidarity in the southern part of the globe to protest the agricultural policy specifically and the effect on the environment. I spent a week down in Mexico. It was really an awakening. Such a colorful movement of global civil society convened so many brilliant activists and compassionate people sharing their knowledge. It was one of the best experiences I've ever had in my life, actually, in terms of organizing and seeing a result. Of course, we all know that in 2003, the ministerial meetings collapsed. The developing countries stood together, and the negotiations broke down, and it was a success for civil society. So I was extremely happy to be part of that experience. Kind of fast forward, having moved here to D.C. this last summer, I was aware that we were going to have a massive anti-war protest in September of 2005. I began organizing with United for Peace and Justice for that event, and also with another group called Mobilization for Global Justice, based out of Washington, D.C. And they work specifically on World Bank, IMF issues. And so that weekend we started brainstorming on what kind of direct action we would like to do. The Peace March in September coincided with the annual World Bank meeting, so the bank delegates were in town, and we weren't exactly how we were going to mix the message and bring that global issues of international financial institution domination to the Peace March and try to integrate that in. What we decided was the best use of our action as far as a direct action would go was we planned to take the Mayflower Hotel, where a large percentage of the delegates had stayed for many years. They always stay at the Mayflower, so we knew that. We assembled and had a couple days of trainings and discussions and plotting and planning, and we decided to block the hotel, essentially. We took all four corners surrounding the hotel, and what I mean by that is we literally occupied the streets and closed down the intersections, prevented the limousines from coming in and picking up the delegates. And what ended up happening was a lot of panic at first. I was very surprised. The police, and there was initial panic by the police, and they got really rough, and they took a couple protesters away. The chief came in, and he said, they were going to allow us, they're not going to arrest all the protesters, they're going to allow us to hold the intersections. Essentially, that meant that the delegates had to walk out of the building through us to get to World Bank, which is only a few blocks away. What that meant was, as the delegates came out one by one, they got heckled all the way for the next few blocks, and we asked them about their policies of domination and how they would feel if they were a migrant farm worker in Chiapas, Mexico. And they didn't much like that, but it was an in-your-face approach. It was an incredible experience, and I enjoyed telling the story and sharing that experience.
By soldiers and cops, so they can make all the plans and negotiations about how they're gonna stay at the top. And when they're done, they'll release a few statements about how their charity will beat the whole world, when all they really did was solidify their strategy to ravage us with exploitation and war. How can we be silent for so much as hate? Your rules were just made for the people to break. You make sure to dictate the entire world's fate. Look, we are 6 billion and you are only 8. You say liberalized trade, yeah, it's been done before, so you can all profit off the blood of the poor. You say let market forces do that fine job, you won't take the blame for the billions you've robbed. G-A-I-M-F, W-T-O, F-T-A-A, NAFTA, World Bank, NGO, clothing and acronyms, dressing up fine. It still ain't no more than the world's greatest crime. How can we be silent for so much at stake? The laws were just made for the people to break. You try to dictate the entire world's fate, but we are 6 billion and you are only 8. We'll be right back. changes of cultures and life on this earth. So far from the walls behind which you scheme to take us and break us and remake our dreams. While you fill the world out of money and greed with your states and your armies and big companies, we'll water the seeds of rebellion and grow strong at the waves that erupt from below. Your walls will just pay for the people to break. We've been trying to dictate the entire world's fate. The fate of 6 billion and you are only eight. You may try to dictate the entire world's fate. The fate of 6 billion and you are only eight. You may try to dictate the entire world's fate. The fate of 6 billion and you are only eight.
Music from folk singers Ethan Miller and Kate Boverman off their Riot Folk CD. The name of the song was Only Eight. Speaking of the G8, the group of industrialized countries that dictate global economic and so-called trade policy. Ethan was one of the fine youth activists who attended the 2006 National Conference on Organized Resistance gathering, along with today's program guest, Mr. Logan Madsen. Logan, in my program's introduction, I mentioned that you also are very concerned about the cultural, social, and ecological issues impacting the Nui Western Shoshone tribal nation from the United States government's historical and contemporary destruction of part of their homeland now called Nevada. Since the violation of the 1868 Treaty of Ruby Valley, Nui Sugabea, Western Shoshone land, has greatly suffered from settlers mining, atomic weapons testing, construction of the Yucca Mountain Nuclear Waste Repository, and now some of the fastest growing urban sprawl in America. Earlier at lunch, you told me that you have learned from my Nui Western Shoshone friend and elder, Mr. Corbin Harney, while you were active in the anti-nuclear movement, Shundahai. As listeners to Wolf Mountain Radio know, Yat Kiddushin Native Center works closely with Shundahai and other Western Shoshone who are fighting to protect Mother Earth and their traditional cultural life ways. You also mentioned to me that you've spent time at the Grand Canyon, homeland of the Wallapi and Havasupai Indian people I too have visited. In fact, as a biologist, I know that the natural fauna and flora of the canyon only now survives in those reservation lands, nowhere else in their original range. This is due to the fact that those tribes have protected those animals, plants, and springs, unlike the National Park Service, which have not been able to protect their habitat. That arid land is an ecologically fragile environment. Would you please comment on what is happening to that very special region?
Yeah, absolutely. I'd love to. Having moved to Las Vegas in 1987, I've seen a majority of the growth, the population triple in size in that valley, and the result of that. The land, of course, affects one. The sky is so enormous, and the sunsets and the mountains are wonderful. But it wasn't until, really, when I got into my political science and my environmental studies in college, when I started learning about desert ecology. And that led to a very important position. I was a tour guide at the Grand Canyon, and I worked with the Hualapai Nation, often the Havasupai, too. And I did that for a couple years, and I would take eco-tour guides, visitors on the Strip in Las Vegas, and I would drive them out to the Hualapai Nation, where they would take a tour with the Hualapai. I learned a lot out there about that part of the Grand Canyon, about the land, as well as I want to also share, as a side note, my experience and the Shundahai, Corbin Harney, working with the anti-nuclear activism, Pujaba in Tecopa Springs in California, his impact on my understanding of that area. A lot of what I know has been shared to me from teachers, and those are very important teachers, Corbin and my friends at Hualapai. That area is a very sensitive area in that part of the desert. Things grow very slowly in the desert. Joshua trees can grow 800 years old. Creosote bushes can grow actually cloning themselves, they can grow several thousand years old. Some of the oldest plants on Earth are there. And so it's a very fragile ecosystem. If you walk on the desert crust, you destroy it. It has to rejuvenate. It's got a hard crust to hold the moisture in. And so all the development that's gone on there has just been a catastrophe in every level. You've had, in the Vegas Valley, you've had problems with the desert tortoise there, because that valley happened to be a huge location for that desert tortoise. And of course, we know now the Vegas Valley is paved over, nearly complete. In just a few more years, it will be completely paved over. And it's growing outside, it's burgeoning outside of the valleys now. So that, of course, is the fastest growing city in the United States, population-wise, urban sprawl. It's really unparalleled. So many environmental issues, one could go on for a long time. I've worked with Citizen Alert, a nuclear watchdog, for a couple years, and we did issues on water of the Colorado River. The consumption rate of the strip hotels and the watering the lawns of all the new homes is unsustainable, and this is something that is going to have to be dealt with sooner or later. And there are conservation measures implemented by the city of Las Vegas, and there is a rising consciousness. However, the growth of the urban growth is actually the kind of the root problem, because you have boxes that are built in the desert that aren't designed to hold the cold and to keep out the heat, and so you have a major problem with the construction of these cheap boxes that are being built all throughout the valley. Enormous heating and cooling costs. Another thing that, you know, comes to mind when talking about environmental issues in Las Vegas and the Mojave Desert region is, of course, Yucca Mountain. And that is a national issue, because it indicates that, you know, the modern rhetoric of the Bush administration, of their position that nuclear energy is somehow a renewable energy, and that's an alternative, is it can be defeated by just talking about what are we doing with the current waste from the nuclear industry right now. Of course, there's been a long-standing battle over that mountain to prohibit that growth, and what you found is that the Department of Energy has been so singly focused on that project and fighting it tooth and nail to get that project approved to store nuclear waste inside of that mountain, which has so many problems. And for years and years, we've done panels and we've brought experts in with the Sierra Club, scientists talking about how the casks that hold the nuclear waste are not safe. They cannot last. It needs to be there for 10,000 years. There's fault lines in the area. I mean, on the mountain rock is porous. On every level, this is a bad idea. Yet the government continues on.
We're receiving a telephone call from my brother, Mala Spotted Eagle Pope, Western Shoshone brother, and activist with Elder Quibbin Harney and others with Shundahai Network, which is wonderful. And what that phone call was about was a U.S. government employee, scientist, actually admitted to falsifying so-called scientific data on the Yucca Mountain radioactive waste information, because he was under pressure and he just made up figures. Did you hear about that?
Yeah, we've been involved in bringing those some of those individuals, some of the scientists that were on the independent review board, the panel of scientists that were to review that, and some of them have actually some have quit the board and have come out against it now publicly. So that's been very damning. I mean, one could go on and on. I mean, the workers there digging the mountain have been lied to by the government in terms of health factors of the dust, and it's never ending, really, the problems that are associated with Yucca Mountain. You know, the state has a position against it, you know, and that's a good thing. And we have our local politicians, our senators, congressmen. It's a pretty dug-in battle, a legal battle that's currently still in the courts, but we hold out hope that mountain will never be used for long-term nuclear storage, and that we can prohibit any more nuclear plants from being built in this nation that's now known as the United States.
We are standing here together with a
bunch of our friends, helping nuclear power come to an end. This movement is growing, and it's getting mighty strong, 'cause we know we are right, and this is our song. We've seen many a struggle in our so many years. Some ended in triumph, the others in tears. But we're the type of folks that are gonna join in a fight when we know that the struggle is proper and right. We are standing here together with a bunch of our friends, helping nuclear power come to an end. This movement is growing, and it's getting mighty strong, 'cause we know we are right, and this is our song. We look towards the sun, and we look towards the wind. There are many alternatives to make the turbines spin. Hydro and coal, why, just to name a few. If you want to join this struggle, the plans will stand with you. We are standing here together with a bunch of our friends, helping nuclear power come to an end. This movement is growing, and it's getting mighty strong, 'cause we know we are right, and this is our song. We know that it's not safe, we know that it's not clean. Don't want their plutonium nor the radioactive steam. This is our world, we want it safe, my friends. We'll fight this nuclear madness right till the bitter end. We are standing here together with a bunch of our friends, helping nuclear power come to an end. This movement is growing, and it's getting mighty strong, 'cause we know we are right, and this is our song. If you're against nuclear power, stand up and clap your hands. Let's send this no nuke message throughout this beautiful land. A new day is dawning, the sun is shining bright. If we all stand together, it's bound to come out right. We are standing here together with a bunch of our friends, helping nuclear power come to an end. This movement is growing, and it's getting mighty strong, 'cause we know we are right, and this is our song. The time it is coming, they'll have to hear our song. We're hand in hand together in strength to march along. There are other ways to light up our cities and our towns. From Diablo to Seabrook, we're gonna shut them down. We are standing here together with a bunch of our friends, helping nuclear power come to an end. This movement is growing, and it's getting mighty strong, 'cause we know we are right, and this is our song. 'Cause we know we are right, and this is our song.
Music from the All People's Singers. That anti-nuclear song was entitled We're Standing Here Together. Playing that song reminded me of another fine Earth Justice Coalition of Native American and non-Indian activists called the Clamshell Alliance, which I was very much involved with. The Clamshell Alliance, named in honor of our sacred Quahog shell, fought to defend a sacred Native site that sadly became desecrated from construction of a nuclear power plant. We call this coastal estuary place Winnemucca, now called Seabrook Nuclear Power Station. Being part of Clamshell, active in Shunda High, working with the Independent Sacred Lands Project and other coalitions, has gifted me many lessons from elders and friendships with good people such as yourself. It taught me to respect everyone as a person, not to judge someone just by their heritage. I've seen a number of Euro-American people really learn from the knowledge and wisdoms of our Indian people as a result of respecting Native cultures. I appreciate those white people who support our indigenous issues as allies. Logan, what type of lessons or experiences has your spirit learned from being around tribal people?
I'd love to share. It's a long story that it could be told much longer than a few minutes, but I would definitely like to back up to my early upbringing, because I think that's where it started with me. And I was raised in, as a child, in Missouri, in southwest Missouri, before I moved to Nevada. family friend of my father's. I grew up going to the powwow of the Osage Indians since I was a child and experiencing that every year. And that, I think, set a foundation of those ceremonies for what later occurred for me, which what I call was an awakening in my spirituality. Just to talk about that real briefly, the year 1997, I was in Oregon at a gathering in the National Forest, and was very fortunate to attend a sweat lodge ceremony led by a native Lakota. And in that ceremony, very long preparations with the peace pipe and the explaining in detail the directions and the four directions and the meanings behind this ceremony and their culture. It was a very great privilege for me to attend that. I felt that, and during the sweat lodge and during the ceremony, I had some really profound changes and visions and interpersonal experiences that rather abruptly changed kind of the course of my life. And I love telling that story and always sharing how the deep experiences that one can have in those ancient ceremonies, they're pretty incredible. I've had a lot of teachers over my life, and fortunately many of them have been on the red road, and I've taken very keenly to that path. It's been very natural for me. It wasn't something that, it was just like a perfect fit and made sense to me. So in my life, I look back over experiences with out at the Nevada test site year after year, doing the sunrise ceremony with Corbin, doing the bear dance and sharing all these incredible experiences, bringing me deeper to a deeper understanding of Mother Earth and getting closer and feeling it, feeling Mother Earth instead of just using intellect and using these words to try to capture, but actually feeling it. And it's through that feeling that I think has given me deeper passion and conviction and why I'm studying to get my master's degree and moving on in my life to further that mission of protecting Mother Earth.
Ho Tankashala Wakan Tanka Tate Kriyatopa Na Ate Wakan Tanka Nama Ompo. Na Rio Pagata Wakinia Oyateke Ehinto Ompo. Now Waziata Tatanka Oyateke Ehinto Ompo. Now we go Hian Pata Sente Sapta Oyateke. Ito kegata, wambli, oyateke, ahinto wampo. Na make imu, na unchi maka, ahinto wampo. Na wankakia, na wankakia, ahinto wampo. Na wambli glaska, toka, ahinto wampo.
Grandfather, Great Spirit, Four Winds and Father, Great Spirit, hear me, O West Thunder Being People, look upon me. To the North Buffalo people, look upon me. To the East Blacktail Deer people, look upon me. To the South Eagle people, look upon me. Mother Earth and Grandmother Earth, upon me, upwards and upwards, look upon me, and centers. spotted eagle, look upon me. Grandfather, Great Spirit, have pity on and help all the people, and help all the people walk the red road. This I ask so these people may live, all my relatives.
You are listening to Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices, a production of the Yat Kitichi Native Center. Yat Kitichi Native Center defends Mother Earth and the cultural lifeways of Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Yat Kitichi Native Center is an intertribal, culture and arts, environmental protection, social justice, and news media organization. Yat Kitichi Native Center portrays Native peoples and their worldviews in a more accurate and in-depth depiction of both our ancestral and contemporary cultures. Yat Kitichi Native Center serves to educate by providing a deeper understanding of our diverse cultures, arts, values, histories, and contemporary situations. Yat Kitichi tries to honor traditional ways by instilling an appreciation and respect for Mother Earth and tribal peoples throughout the world. Yat Kitichi Native Center educates the public on important issues facing Indigenous communities. We work in support of intertribal, cultural, environmental, and social justice issues by networking with other organizations and events which share our concerns. Yat Kitichi Native Center serves as a focal point for Native news and information. We maintain a documentary library for networking with the Native and international press. Yat Kitichi Native Center's Speakers Bureau provides spokespersons for school programs, conference speakers, and community presentations. Yat Kitichi Native Center is experienced in planning, promoting Native forums, symposiums, powwows, and cultural events. Yat Kitichi's Mishkwinataki Environment Program protects Mother Earth through conservation and restoration projects. Yat Kitichi's Environmental Education Program focuses on curriculum development, teacher training, and nature field trips. We are members of the professional organization, the North American Association of Environmental Education. Yat Kitichi's Kinonwatakwisi Native Arts creates quality handcrafted traditional and contemporary fine arts. Please request our catalog of custom flutes, pottery, beaded necklaces, bracelets, earrings, leather pouches, hat bands, and chokers with bone. Yat Kitichi Native Center's Wolf Mountain Radio Program, Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices, honors Native American and Indigenous peoples throughout the world by being a voice for our ancestors, contemporary, and future generations. Please write us for our catalog of audio tapes available for purchase. Native peoples throughout the world are concerned for the well-being of sacred Mother Earth, tribal sovereignty, and respect for cultural lifeways. If you appreciate hearing Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices, we ask you, our listeners, to help financially support our program to stay on the air. Wolf Mountain Radio is an all-volunteer production. Any financial contribution to Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices will be greatly appreciated. We thank you for listening to Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices. We welcome your comments and suggestions. Please feel free to contact us about our consulting services, or if you or your organization is interested in hosting a speaker or educational forum. To contact Yat Kitichi Native Center, write to Yat Kitichi Native Center, 1731 16th Avenue Northeast, Naples, Florida, 34120, USA. Yat Kitichi Native Center sincerely thanks you. Aho, Kinawatakusin, to all of our relations.
The song you heard prior to our Yacht Kiddushin Native Center program identification was entitled Honoring Grandfather, Four Winds Prayer, from Lakota singer-songwriter David Night Eagle's Canyon Records CD, Torn from the Heart, The Journey. I want to thank today's program guest, Logan Madsen, for speaking with us on Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. Next week, we shall continue our conversation in Program 2 of my interview with Logan from the 2006 National Conference of Organized Resistance Gathering. I want to remind our listeners that you can also visit our Yad Kiddushin Native Center website to learn more about our projects. Our links page is also a great reference that lists a number of very fine organizations that we network with. Our website is www.yadkiddushin.org. Yad Kiddushin Native Center's website is www.yatkitishehe.org. And you can also email Yad Kiddushin Native Center at yadkiddushin@earthlink.net. We shall conclude today's broadcast with an instrumental song from David and Steve Gordon's Sequoia Record CD, Sacred Drum Visions. The name of the song is Spirit Walk. Thank you for listening to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. This is your host and producer, Ernest Pritzker. Aho, Kinawatakusin, to all of our relations.